This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbika ya arhamur rahimin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering by which we increase our love of Allah, a gathering in which we increase our appreciation for the beautiful characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our last session, two sessions ago, we talked about this epic moment in the life of the Prophet and in the life of all the Sahaba, where they set out to go for Umrah. And they were on their way to go do this Umrah. And if you remember, they got stopped. They couldn't do it. And it was a moment that showed us that sometimes when it looks like we're taking an L, we're not really taking an L. We're not taking a loss. But in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening up so many doors for us. But in the moment, it's very hard to see that. And so when we're going through those moments, we have to have people around us that are constantly reminding us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge and that everything is by the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this year, we're in the seventh year of Hijrah right now. And it's time. It's reached that time of the year where it's time to fulfill the Umrah or the pilgrimage that we were going to do. And so this is called Umratul Qadha. It's the Umrah that we were making up from the Umrah that we were stopped from before. So the month of Dhul Qa'dah comes, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announces that everyone who was with us in the previous one, we're going for Umrah again. Everyone get ready. Now, before we go into this, we have to understand that the people of Mecca, they had put some stipulations down. And one of the stipulations that they put, they said, you can come back next year. You can't come this year. You could come back next year. And when you come back, number one, you can't bring any weapons of war. You know, you could carry your little like side joint, you know? No? Okay. All right. It's Texas, right? You could carry your little travel weapon, but you can't carry the things that are for war. You can't carry those. And because it's a peaceful time now. And so the Arabs had a custom. They would always travel with a small weapon that they could protect themselves from anything in the moment. But they weren't going to take any weapons for fighting because it's a time of peace. And the other condition was when you come, you can only come for 3 days and you got to go. That's it. That's it. 3 days and you got to go back. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells everyone, you know, let's get ready. We're going. And there were about 1,400 people that had went for that Umrah with us when we got stopped. But now there's 2,000 people. There's 2,000 people. We're all going for Umrah. And there's no doubt in everyone's mind that we're going to go and make this Umrah. But the Prophet ﷺ does something very different. He makes sure that along the journey, he takes all of the weapons of war along on the journey. And so when the Quraysh heard that the Prophet ﷺ was on his way to Mecca, they're like, okay, Adi, this is normal. He's supposed to come. No big deal. But when they heard he was bringing weapons, they're like, what's going on? And so they sent a man to go and talk to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His name was Mikraz. And so as they got close, you got to understand, it's a 10-day walk. It's a 12-day walk. And with a caravan, it might even take 2 weeks. And so he's traveling with all of these weapons. But his plan wasn't to take them in. His plan was, these have to be near us just in case the Quraysh try to do something. And so as they get close to Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ takes a group of people and he says, here, put all the weapons here, and I want you guys to stay right near these weapons and watch them. If they try to do anything to us, we're ready in that situation. And this is important because the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us this concept of tawakkul, which is reliance on God. Complete reliance on God. And if you study his life, as we have been, you'll see every moment he's trusting in God. But trusting in God doesn't mean don't take precautions. And so what the Prophet ﷺ was doing is he was making sure that just in case the Quraysh try something, We're ready for them. So they send Mikras. Mikras was from the Quraysh. His job was like, find out why they're coming with weapons. And so he says, Ya Muhammad, ma urifta saghiran wala kabiran bil ghadari. SubhanAllah, they used to say things that you would wonder, why haven't you accepted Islam? He says, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's like, you have never in your life, since you were young or old, been known to cheat anyone. Why are you bringing weapons? Are you going to bring weapons into the haram? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, La, anni la adkhulu al-haram bis-silah. He goes, no, we're not bringing any weapons into the haram. And then Mikras, he says, this is exactly how we knew you to be. I found this amazing because it's a testimony on their tongue to how truthful he always was. Meaning even his enemies, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even those who are at war against him, they're like, this man never lies. He never breaks his promise. But the idea is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that we have to take precautions. We always have to take your precautions and still trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they come and they're approaching Mecca. The weapons are set up outside of Mecca, but everyone still has their small travel, Yemeni style, knife or a sword or whatever they would keep. And rumors had spread. See, you have to understand the backdrop. The people in Mecca are very angry or upset, salty. They don't want to see us happy. They don't want to see us in a good state. And so they started spreading rumors about us. And the rumors they spread is they said that أَنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ الْقَادِمِينَ لِلْعُمْرَةِ, that these Muslims that are coming to do Umrah, they got sick in Medina and they're all weak and scrawny now. See, a little backdrop. Medina was always known to be a place that when people traveled through it, they would get sick. And even the Sahaba, when they first got to Medina 7 years ago, many of them got sick right away. And so rumors started to spread that these Muslims, watch when they come, you'll see them, they'll be very weak, they'll be very lethargic, they'll be very skinny, because they've gotten weak from being in Medina too long. This was the propaganda. See, we couldn't fight them in the battle, so now they're fighting the battle of propaganda. Let's just spread. The reason why that's so clutch is because it's people in the Arabian Peninsula are choosing sides at this point. Are they going to be with the Muslims or are they going to be with the Quraysh? And as much as they could spread evil about us, as much as they could make our name bad, that was better for them. So when the Prophet was informed by Jibra'il that the Quraysh are saying this about y'all. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he does something absolutely amazing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cared about our image. And as we as a ummah are going through what we're going through internationally, an image is so important, how we're perceived. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this lesson from the Prophet speaks so much to us. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in this moment, when he heard about this, they said, oh, these people are weak. They won't even be able to do tawaf around the Kaaba because they'll be too weak. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says these words. He says to the Sahaba, 2,000 of them, men, women, children. He says, Rahim Allahu imri'in. May Allah have mercy. Speaking to the believers, may Allah have mercy on the person amongst us who shows them our strength today. Typically, the Prophet taught us to be humble, but humility has a time and place. Humility has a time and place. One day, Abu Jujana in the battle of Badr, he was a fighter. It was a war, and he puts on his red bandana, and he starts to strut like with swagger, in front of the enemy. And the Prophet looked at him and he said, "This is a gait that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala doesn't like, except in this situation." Meaning, in this moment, we're not to be humble. In this moment, we're to be proud. We're to be strong. And so the Prophet teaches us something in this moment that sticks with this ummah until today. He says, all the men, if you ever seen men in umrah and ihram, you know what it is. It's the towel on the bottom and the towel on the top. And typically when we wear the towel, you know, we're humble people. MashaAllah, we have haya. So you cover your shoulders. But the Prophet ﷺ, he said, no, hold up. We're going to switch things up today. He said, I want everyone to do something called ittiba. He says, all the men, I want you to take out your right arm and take the cloth and put it over your left, but your right arm is out. For what reason? To flex. That was it. There was no other reason. Literally, every scholar, this isn't my interpretation, this is every single scholar says, the only reason why till today Muslims do Umrah and put their arm out is because word had spread that we were weak. And the Prophet is like, I don't want anyone thinking this Ummah is weak. Al-mu'min qawi khayru min mu'min da'if. The Prophet ﷺ said, the strong believer is better than the weak believer. Some say that's about faith in Iman, but wallahu a'lam. Wallahu a'lam. So Rasulullah ﷺ, he says, I want the men to take out their right arm. Their right arm. And not only that, he said, I don't want anyone walking in the tawaf. I want the men to jog. To jog. And subhanAllah, it was such a performative act that when the Quraysh were watching us, right? I want you to imagine the Kaaba. The most of the Quraysh were on one side of the Kaaba watching us. There was another side where there was no one at. None of the Quraysh were there. This was such a performative act that when we got to the other side, the Prophet was like, just walk right here. Like, why are we going to waste energy for? So whenever we would get to the other side of the Kaaba, you walk. But the moment you turn the corner, start running again. Just to show that we're strong. And subhanAllah, it's just such a beautiful moment to show how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fighting against propaganda and keeping the image of the Muslim as something as always as something strong. Even though a year ago we just took a compromise that made us look weak, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like, no, this ummah always has to look strong. And I'm going to, subhanAllah, you wonder why we do it till today. Like there's no Quraysh around the Kaaba watching us. But it's the Sahaba, Umar ibn Abbas, he said, once the Prophet made it sunnah, we should never leave something that the Prophet made sunnah. And so till today, when you go for Umrah, brothers finally like, yeah, I get to show off, you know? And they take the right arm out and they start to jog around the Kaaba. And it's all because of that image that had been created about the Muslims. And the Prophet was like, no, we are a strong Ummah. We must always know we're strong and we must always show our strength. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now coming into Mecca. This is an epic moment. Most of the Quraysh, they left Mecca and they went off into the mountains. And the reason is, they just don't want to see us happy. They just don't want to see us in our moment happy. So many of the Quraysh, they left. One of them was Khalid bin Walid. We'll talk about him, inshallah. They left. The rest of them, they stayed. And they watched the Muslims. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming into Mecca, the Sahaba, they have their swords out, the small swords. We left the big stuff back at the camp. And they're surrounding the Prophet. Muhdiquna, on every side, in front, around, from every angle. They have their ihram on, but they're also holding a sword. Why? Because we don't want anyone to do anything to this man. Some of the youngsters, some of the hotheads from Quraysh. So they're surrounding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the entire time. And subhanAllah, I want you to see the image. They're all doing talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. Just doing the talbiyah surrounding the Prophet ﷺ. Guys, brothers and sisters, we haven't been at the Kaaba. We haven't been here as a ummah in the last 7 to 8 years. This was what they wanted more than anything. And so they're there. They're there. And the Prophet ﷺ, he stays there 3 days. And most of the leaders of Quraysh, they left. They didn't want us to see them, see us happy. So they left. And the Prophet ﷺ had a very special quality. And it's something that me and you need to develop within ourselves. The Prophet ﷺ, as they describe him, they say, كَانَ يَتَفَقَّدُ أَصْحَابَهُ. That the Prophet ﷺ, he was connected to every person in a gathering. And he would miss people when they were absent.
If you spent time with him and you didn't pull up and you weren't there, he'd be like, where's Fulan? Where's such and such? So in this moment, something amazing happens. Walid bin Walid, he's a Muslim. And he's the brother of none other than Khalid bin Walid. Now, I'm going to pause for a moment so we understand who this man I'm about to talk about is before we truly appreciate what's about to happen. Khalid bin Walid is brawn and brain. Khalid bin Walid is the most strategic man of war there is. He was there at Badr. He was there at Uhud. He was there at Hudaybiyah. He was there at every moment. And he was brilliant at war. But this moment was big. So he left. He left. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I said, his quality, there's so many people there. He looks over to Walid bin Walid, Khalid's brother. And he says, Aina Khalid? He says, where's Khalid? Where's Khalid? Now this is heavy. I want you to understand. This is a sunnah. There was once a woman. Her name was Ummi Mahjan. She was a black woman. She used to clean the masjid. She was from the poor people of Medina, meaning she had no clan. But she had Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She used to clean the masjid every day. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes out Fajr. He goes, where's Ummi Mahjan? The Sahaba, they say, Ya Rasulullah, she passed away last night. The Prophet broke down. He said, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? How are you just going to bury it? Why didn't you tell me? It was the middle of the night, Ya Rasulullah. You were asleep. We didn't want to bother you. He said, Dullani ala qabriha. Take me to her grave. And he went and he prayed the janazah on the grave. But he missed her. He missed her. That's the key that changes people's hearts. And I'm talking about this because when we look at this moment of Khalid bin Walid, the Prophet missed him and he said, where's Khalid by name? There was another person we'll read maybe in next week or the week after. His name was Ka'b bin Malik. There were 3,000 soldiers and we went to go fight the Roman Empire. Amongst 30,000. And amongst 30,000, when we get there, the Prophet looks around. It's 30,000 people. He goes, where's Ka'b? Where's Ka'b at? He noticed people and he noticed when they were gone. So subhanAllah, it's a beautiful moment. Khalid bin Walid, these are his words. It's such a beautiful story. Khalid bin Walid, he says, when the Prophet ﷺ came to Mecca to perform this Umrah, I disappeared. And I didn't want to see him enter the city. But my brother was Muslim. My brother was Muslim. And he came with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And my brother was looking for me, but he couldn't find me. وَكَتَبَ إِلَيَّ كِتَابٍ But he wrote a letter for me and he left the letter with someone. And this is what the letter said. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أما بعد He says, he's writing to his brother. فَإِنِّي لَمْ أَرَى أَعْجَبْ مِنْ ذَهَابِ رَأِيكَ عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ He goes, I don't know anything stranger than your intellect not seeing the beauty of Islam. When your intellect is as high as your intellect is. Someone like you should not be ignorant to what the beauty of Islam is. And look what he says next. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked me about you. He said, where's Khalid? Where's Khalid? Can you imagine being the one who caused Hamza's death and mutilation? That was Khalid. Can you imagine being the one that caused the tooth of the Prophet to be chipped in the battle of Uhud? That was Khalid when he turned around the corner and attacked the Muslims. But to have this man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amongst all of the people of Mecca, lean over to your brother and go, where's Khalid at? Imagine how it hit him. Imagine how it touched him. So what happens? فَقُلْتُ The brother says in the letter, I said, Allah will bring him, Ya Rasulullah. Allah will bring him. A lot of us have family members we want to take shahada, and those words, Allah will bring him, those are what we're saying all the time. Allah will bring him, inshallah. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, in the letter, he's writing what the Prophet said, مَا مِثْلُهُ جَهِلَ الْإِسْلَامِ. Somebody as smart as him won't miss out on the beauty of Islam. وَلَوْ كَانَ جَعَلَ. And then he says, the Prophet's saying, but the brother's writing, he goes, if he would only use his strengths for this deen instead of against the deen. Brothers and sisters, there's so many people in our country right now that have strengths. They have voice. They have influence. And the Prophet ﷺ is saying, sometimes the ones who are your staunch enemies are the ones that will be the best in Islam. There's a hadith, and I want you to remember it. The Prophet ﷺ said, "An-nasu kal ma'adin." People are like mines of gold and silver. Khiyaruhum fil jahiliyyah, khiyaruhum fil Islam. The ones who are good in jahiliyyah will be good in Islam when they learn the deen. Meaning you could take everything from your jahili period, sift it through the beautiful sieve of Islam, and what comes out is this amazing individual that can work for the deen, that can help Allah's deen. So he says, and if he comes, I'm gonna put him up front. What does he say? In the seventh year, if he comes, لَنُقَدِّمَنَّهُ, we'll put him in the front. This is important. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, أَنزِلُ النَّاسْ مَنَازِلَهُمْ, treat people according to their rank. If Khalid becomes Muslim, what, he goes to the back of the lines of the saf of the war? No. He's a top-notch general. He's a top-notch person of strategy and war. The Prophet ﷺ says, man, if he comes, he's going to be right in the front. He's not going to start over fresh. He's going to be right in the front. So the brother ends, the letter's ending. So the brother says, Ya akhi, fastadrik. Ya akhi, yo, come on, you got to make up for a lot of... He says, you missed a lot of important moments. Qadafataka. You missed Badr on the right side. You missed Uhud on the right side. You missed Hudaybiyah on the right side. You've missed a lot. Come on, man. You got to join us. وَقَدَفَاتَكَ مَوَاتِنَ صَالِحَ. You missed a lot of good moments. Khalid says, when I got the letter in my hand, نَشِتُ لِلْخُرُوجِ, I got excited. I was like, I got to go. I got to go. I want to drop back a little bit what's going on in his heart for a minute. Khalid tells us, he says that, I noticed that every time I tried to beat him in war, he was always a step ahead of me. Who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, every time I tried to get him, he was always ahead. Think of Uhud. He had already set up the archers. We were ready, but people slipped up. In Hudaybiyah, which we spoke about 2 weeks ago, I didn't bring it up, but it's important. Khalid tried to attack us in Hudaybiyah. And Khalid goes, listen, he has a group of 200 soldiers. He goes, listen, they're about to pray this prayer called like Asr prayer. And they love prayer more than they love anything. The moment they start praying, we'll attack them. Everyone's like, great plan, Khalid, let's do it. Do you know what was revealed right between Dhuhr and Asr? It's called Salatul Khawf, the prayer of war. So right when Khalid is like, we got him, the Prophet ﷺ, through revelation, is one step ahead. Khalid says, when I saw him pray Salatul Khawf, let me explain real quick. Salatul Khawf is a prayer that in the battlefield, prayer isn't, you still pray, but it's just different. The one group stands in front and protects, and then they pray. It's complex. But the point is, Khalid is like, oh, don't worry, they're about to pray this prayer. They put all their heads at the ground on one time, we attack. In between, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Gabriel reveals Salatul Khawf. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're about to pray. He's like, listen, prayer is different for Asr. He recites the verses of Quran. Khalid says, when I saw him pray that, I said, Ar-rajulu mamnu', this man can't be touched. I'm on the wrong side. He says, this was in my heart since Hudaybiyah that I'm on the wrong side. And then I get this letter a year later in which the Prophet spoke to me specifically. He says, so I got the letter in my hand. Nashittu lil khuruj. I was invigorated to go to Medina. Let's do it. I'm going to go. And then he goes, I was hesitant. And then I saw a dream. I went to sleep that night and I saw a dream. He said, I saw this dream that I was in this land that was very constrained. I felt claustrophobic. and it was dry. And then I left that land and I went to a land that was green, lush, and open. He said, I woke up and I said, this is it. Allah is telling me something through this dream. There's something here. Later, when he gets to Medina, later on, he asks Abu Bakr to interpret the dream. Abu Bakr says, the tight and constricted land was your life disconnected from God. And the land that was open wide, the freedom, that was when you submit to Allah. See, the scholars, they say, Islam frees you from your nafs when the world wants to free your nafs. The world wants to free your nafs. But we see what happens when we free the nafs. Addiction, drugs, alcohol, gambling. That's what happens when you free the nafs. What does Islam do? Free you from the nafs. Because everyone's a slave of something. I'd just rather be a slave of Allah. Everyone's a slave of something. I just would rather be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he saw this dream. And he says, I gotta go. I made up my mind to go. فَأَجْمَعْتُ الْخُرُوجِ I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna go see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a huge moment. This is the hymn of Mecca saying, I'm going to Medina. But then he said, مَنْ أُصَاحِبْ إِلَى مُحَمَّدٍ I need somebody to roll with me. This is amazing. How many of y'all in this room came with someone else? How many of us came? No one? Dang, y'all all came by yourself? We ain't got parking like that. How many times you say to someone, yo, I'm gonna go to the halakha, pull up. You're like, all right, cool, I'm coming. We need people to do good in righteousness. We need other people. Even the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it was time for hijrah, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was like, ya Rasulullah, it's getting really bad, I'm about to leave. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Abu Bakr, can you wait a day or two? Abu Bakr said, why? Why? Come on, what's going on? He said, maybe Allah will give you a partner. And he said, as-sohbah? We could go together? Subhanallah, Khalid bin Walid, strongest man you can imagine, courageous man you can imagine, but he's about to walk into a masjid for the first time. Can you come with me? Can you come with me? I need somebody to come. So Khalid bin Walid, subhanallah, such a beautiful moment. He says, who will go with me? I need someone to go with me. I can't go by myself. So he goes to three leaders of Quraysh. This first one, Safwan bin Umayyah. He goes up to him, he says, listen, I know you see what I see. I don't know why we're on the wrong side of history. We need to switch sides. Can you come with me to Medina and we become Muslim? Safwan rejects it. No way. If there was nothing left on the earth, I wouldn't go there. He rejects it. Khalid says, yeah, this man's family and brothers were killed in Uhud and Badr. He's got emotional blockage. He's got blockage. You know what? Forget it. Then he goes to Ikrama bin Abi Jahl, Abu Jahl's son. He says, yo, Ikrama, I'm about to go to Medina. You want to come with me? Ikrama responds the same way his father was killed by the Muslims. He goes, no, I'm not going. I would never go. What are you talking about? Go on your own. Khalid hasn't given up hope. He's like, I need someone to roll with me. I can't go by myself. We all need companionship. We all need someone to be with us. We all need someone to be with us. So he finally goes to another man by the name of Uthman bin Talha. Uthman bin Talha, he talked to him, and Uthman says, I'll go with you, let's go. I want to become Muslim too. Now I want to say something. Uthman bin Talha isn't really that well known in the history for a lot of stuff. But there's one thing he's really known for. Back in the early days of Hijrah, Salama got trapped in Mecca. She couldn't leave. And she needed someone to escort her to Medina. She started walking by herself with her child, a two-year-old child. She started walking from Mecca to Medina. Uthman bin Talha is not a Muslim, but he sees this woman. He sees this woman and he goes, where are you going? She goes, I'm going to my husband. He goes, who's with you? She goes, no one. He says, I'm going to take you. He puts her and the baby onto the camel. He walks them all the way to Medina and walks back. And she said, I've never met someone that was more chivalrous and honorable than him. The good characters we have impact the blessings that Allah will give us later in life. Uthman bin Talha, what does he say? Let's go. I'll go with you. They started, they said, okay, in the morning time, we'll meet at this place. If I get there first, wait for me. If you get there first, you wait for me. And then we'll go together. So the next morning, they meet up at the place. Neither of them get stopped. They're able to leave. And they start to travel to Medina. This epic journey. They're giving up the old life, and they're making this hijrah to Medina. Who? The one responsible for Hamza's situation. The one responsible for the chipped tooth of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But I need to change. I got a letter from a prophet who asked about me. So they're on their way. And as they're on their way, they bump into Amr bin As, who's one of the leaders of Quraysh too. So they meet each other, this one guy and the two. And Khalid looks at Amr. He's like, Marhaban bik. Where are you going? Amr's like, Marhaban bika. Where are you going? So Khalid just lets it out. I'm going to become Muslim. Amr was like, yo, low-key, that's what I was about to go do too. And so now they're together. Three people, they're on their way to accept Islam. And Amr bin As, he's a story on his own. And it's beautiful. So he says, وَذَلِكَ الَّذِي أَقْدَمَنِي. He goes, that's why I'm here too. Let's go. Khalid goes, come on, we'll go together. They reach outside of Medina. You could think of where Masjid Quba is today. They reach outside of Medina. فَأُخْبِرَ بِنَا فَأُخْبِرَ بِنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. All the way in Medina. Now today for us, from the masjid to Quba is a short bus ride. But for them, that was outside the city. That was like Denton. No, I'm just joking. Isn't that the joke these days, Denton? That was like Denton, right? So they stop out way out in Denton. They stop way out there. And look what happens. فَأُخْبِرَ بِنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. The Prophet ﷺ was told, word traveled, Khalid and Amr are here to accept Islam. فَصُرَّ بِنَا. The Prophet ﷺ got happy. فَلَبِسْتُ مِنْ صَالِهِ ثِيَابِ. Khalid says, I took out my baggage, luggage, and I put my best clothes on. I'm about to start a new life. He says, I put my best clothes on. ثُمَّ عَمَتُ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And I'm going towards the Prophet ﷺ. You can imagine his anxiety, his worry, his knowledge of himself. A lot of times, what's stopping us from those changes is what we know about ourselves. And how will people judge me? How will people look at me? So he's on his way. فَلَقِيَنِي أَخِي. My brother met me on my way in. My brother, who's been Muslim for years, met me on my way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And my brother says to me, Asri, hurry up. Come on, bro, hurry up. The Prophet ﷺ heard you're coming. Like, hurry up. Do you know what that? Hurry up. Come on, bro. I've been waiting for you to accept Islam for so long. And here you are on your way. He met him halfway. And as he met him, he's like, hurry up. Isra, Isra, come on. What does he say? فَإِنَّ الرَّسُولُ قَدْ أُخْبِرَ بِكَ. He goes, hurry up. The Prophet knows you're coming. He's so happy that you're coming. وَهُوَ يَنْتَذِرُكَ. He's waiting for you. فَأَسْرَعْنَا الْمَشْيَ. We started walking quick. He says, and from a distance I saw Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَطَلَعْتُ عَلَيْهِ. I want you to picture the moment. This man who has been at war against Muslims for the last 7 years of his life. Every ounce of his brain and mind and strength has been towards against this man. And now he's walking and he sees him from a distance. And he says, فَطَلَعْتُ عَلَيْهِ. I looked at him. فَمَا زَالَ يَتَبَسَّمُ. He just kept smiling at me as I got closer and closer. Meaning the same smile that had a chipped tooth because of him was the same smile now looking at him, happy at him. That's our Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who cares about my pain? You're going to be in Jannah now. You're taking shahada. For me, when I read this story, I'm like the little bro, Waleed bin Waleed. Because the number of family members that I want to take shahada, Allahu Akbar. Like, hurry up. Come on, man. So the Prophet is smiling. حَتَّى وَقَفْتُ عَلَيْهِ He says, then I stood right in front of him. And I said, Salaamu Alaikum. He learned the code word on the way. Assalamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Faradda alayhi salam. The Prophet smiling. He says, Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. But he says, Bi wajhin talqin. He gave a salam with this smiling face. No conversation. He goes, Inni ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka rasulullah. No conversation. Why are you here? No. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. Faqala rasulullah, Alhamdulillah. All praise to Allah who has guided you. Qad kuntu ara laka aqlan. I saw how smart you were. And I had hope that you would accept this deen and see the beauty of it. Qultu, see that we all have those demons inside, those things, skeletons in the closet that we're worried about. But this shahada removes that. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ I have done so many things against you. I have been on battlefields against you. Please ask Allah to forgive me. فَقَالَ The Prophet said, don't you know Islam wipes away everything before it? ثُمَّ قَالَ But you know, when you did a lot of bad, you're like, yeah, that's for everyone. What about me? Like, I need a special one. So then the Prophet raises his hands and he gives a special. He's already forgiven. If you think about it, there's no reason for this next dua. But some of us, it's like, no, I need that special maghfirah. I need that special forgiveness. So the Prophet says, Allahumma ghfir li Khalid. Oh Allah, forgive Khalid for everything that he did against us in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalid bin Walid from this moment goes on to be one of the greatest aids, one of the greatest spreaders of Islam, fighting, using all of his strength and military understanding to protect the deen. So many battles are going to come and we'll talk about it. He was given the nickname, the Sword of Allah, by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sword of God. The Sword of God was his nickname. But do you know how he died? Tuwfiya ala firashi. He died on his deathbed. No wounds, not a battlefield. He died on his bed. And you know what he said? He was passing away and he said, لَقَدْ تَلَبْتُ الْقَتْلِ فِي مَظَانِّهِ فَلَمْ يُقَدِّرْ لِي إِلَّا أَنْ أَمُوتَ عَلَى فِرَاشِ He said, I looked for death on the battlefield as much as I could. He was a soldier. That's what he is. I looked for death on the battlefield, but Allah only wrote for me to die on this bed. You know what the scholars say though? They say that the sword of God couldn't be broken. It had to be sheathed. It couldn't be broken. He couldn't. Once the Prophet gave him the name Sword of Allah, it was impossible for him to die on the battlefield. The sword of Allah had to be sheathed. Beautiful moment in which we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remembering a person, connecting to a person, and realizing the goodness in a person, and that person thereafter living a life so beautiful afterward, filled with khair and goodness. And the beginning of that was one question. Where's Khalid at? That touched his heart more than anything. This man asked about me after everything I've done against him. This is who our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. This was the seventh year. There was one more thing that happened in the seventh year. I have 3 minutes, and I want to share this. Up until now, y'all, when the Prophet would give a khutbah, he would stand next to a tree that was in the masjid. There was a date palm tree in the masjid. And the Prophet, so I said, would stand next to the tree and give khutbah. And he would lean against the tree, you know, just to relax a little bit. There was a woman from the Ansar. She had a servant that was a good carpenter. So she came to the Prophet in the seventh year, 3 years before he passes. She goes, Ya Rasulullah, why don't we make a minbar for you? Like something elevated for you to stand on. He says, oh, that'd be nice. See, we were so busy spreading this deen, we didn't worry about the... the extra stuff. So after a week or so, a few days, the minbar was built and it was put in the masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ goes to give his first khutbah. Masjid is packed. First khutbah with the new sound system. You know, like everybody pulling up. The Prophet stands on the new minbar and he's about to give the khutbah. This is documented by hundreds of sahaba. They say he was standing on the minbar and all of a sudden we start to hear some crying. Like the sound of a child crying. But there was no child crying. There were children in the Prophet's masjid, right? But there were no children crying, and everyone is looking around. Where is that coming from? Whole masjid is hearing it. Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he comes down the minbar and he goes and he touches the tree. And everyone realizes where the sound was coming from. And they say that the tree started, you know when you was crying really bad? You remember that? Y'all remember that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't the only one. They say that's what we heard, the tree. But he held the tree. He held the tree. And he began to talk to the tree. And later he tells us that he said, you can either stay in the masjid and I'll be here next to you for the rest of your life, or we can dig you up, bury you, you'll be my tree in Jannah. He said, the tree chose me in Jannah. They dug up the tree and they buried the tree. The entire masjid, they say, we heard that tree cry as clear as we heard a baby cry because of its distance. The scholars used to say, oh, Ummatil Muslims. They used to say, oh, Muslims, a tree cries. Where's your heart crying? A tree cries from its separation. How come our hearts are so hard? That happened in the seventh year, this year that we're studying right now. May Allah give us a love of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a deep love for him. May Allah give us of his qualities, qualities that will inspire change in other people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this gathering. May Allah accept the shuhada of Gaza. May Allah accept the shuhada of Gaza. May Allah alleviate their suffering and raise their ranks, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So just two quick announcements. From next week, we'll be doing the halakha after Maghrib, inshallah. Maghrib keeps pushing forward. By next week, Maghrib should be around 32. So we'll do the halakha after Maghrib, inshallah ta'ala. Right? So we could go for 2 hours if we want. No. And also, I wanted to announce for the old heads, the OGs, I should say, we did a series called Sufficient Answer back in the Arlington days. We're going to have an intensive October 11th and 12th here, inshallah. I'll be doing that intensive, what? Huh? October 11th and 12th, inshallah. I got to announce all these things? Okay. Salah time is going to change. What's the change? Okay, here's it. We have a convert program at 9:30 a.m. What day? What's the day, bro? Sunday, convert program. Extremely important. Pull up. It'll be amazing. It'll be in Roots. Alhamdulillah, 9 o'clock on Sunday, inshallah ta'ala. And also on September 15th, Rabiul Awwal, a month of loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at 5:30 p.m. we'll be having a program. It's all on our social medias, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. May Allah accept. May Allah accept. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Next week after Maghrib, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.